Hi, welcome back to Agent Insider. Thanks for joining me. Today I have a guest, Shelly Camacho.
Yes.
All right. Shelly's a realtor local, and I appreciate you taking some time to come and chat with us about real estate and what's going on in the real estate market. There's lots of headlines that are going on right now. Interest rates are crazy and not doing what we want them to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of questions about real estate. So just going to start asking you some questions. I know there's a project that you're in, that you're involved in that's super interesting, and I want to get to that. But at first, could you just kind of give me just a little bit about you? How long have you been doing real estate?
I've been in real estate about 10 years. I did mortgages prior to that. So okay. I've been in the industry a long time.
All right. So you've been around it for a while. You kind of know what's going on. And you're working primarily Whatcom, Skagit, Island County?
Correct.
So that's a big area. But
it is a big area.
And but you get to see a lot of what's going on because you're all over.
I do. Yeah.
What are you seeing in the marketplace? Because so like this morning, I was just reading an article that they were talking about foreclosures are jumping up rapidly. They're not as high as they were in 08. But I think it's starting to get people a little bit worried and concerned about the real estate market and industry. What are you seeing out there as far as home selling, people being able to buy homes? Is it still moving, or is it as dead as the media makes it sound?
Well, actually, we're kind of in a sweet spot right now where buyers and sellers are on an even playing field. And before, it was a seller's market and they had control and could dictate, you know, how many offers they accepted, because it was, you know, massively over inflated. You would get five or six offers or even 10 sometimes for a property, 50,000 over asking. And wow. And it inflated our market so much so that it's become unaffordable for most people. And we're seeing price reductions now. And we're also seeing sellers help buyers to buy. And we used to see that a lot in the early, you know, mid 2000s when the market kind of crashed for a little bit there. And we're seeing a little bit of that again, where sellers are willing to do what are called interest rate buy downs. So you say your interest rate's 7%, they can help you buy that interest rate down for a couple of years to like 5 and 6%. And it helps you afford that house. You still have to qualify at the higher rate.
Yeah.
There's always that catch. And then they're helping with closing costs and things like that. Smart sellers are. And it's actually, as a buyer, this is the perfect time to buy, because you don't have competition. You know, you can get the house for a little bit less than what they're asking for. And you can negotiate those closing costs and those buy downs. So it's kind of a nice spot to be in.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So I do some reading on investments. Mm-hmm. So people talk about buy low, sell high.
Yep.
And that's the way you make money, right? Like
right.
If you buy something for $100 and you can sell it for $200. The problem is that as people, we have a tendency to do the exact opposite, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a tendency to buy high and sell low. So when things are rising, we're like, oh no, we got to get in now. And so we quick buy, and then things start to fall and we're like, oh no, the sky is falling. So we sell. So we actually intuitively will do the exact opposite of what we should do. There's a great quote by Warren Buffett. It says, when people get scared, I get greedy. Mm-hmm. And when people get greedy, I get scared.
Yes.
And, you know, he's made a fair amount of money. So I think it's probably some decent advice. So I think that's interesting. Well, the things that you said that are in the real estate market is that I remember when we bought, and when throughout time here, that it was common that you would get some concessions from the seller.
Exactly.
You would have a inspection done. Mm-hmm. But for the recent years, yeah, it's so competitive. People are waiving inspections, or were. And yeah. So they were buying houses not really knowing what they were buying. Mm-hmm. They're making a $600,000 investment into something that they have really no idea what's going on under the covers. And then they're they can get really frustrated yep. because they go, oh, snap, I bought something that has a problem.
The can of worms opens.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned greed, because I think that's what happened, you know, a couple of years ago when interest rates were so low. The sellers got very greedy about, you know, inflating. You know, listing was fine, but, you know, those offers coming in, 50,000 over asking is crazy. And that was really common. That was yeah. common. You know, and you prepare your buyers. Okay, buyer, guess what? We're going to be competing against 15 other people, and you're going to have to really go higher. And right. people would do it. And some people backed out and said, I'm not getting into this. But it's unfortunate because the rates have doubled. So somebody that could afford a $600,000 house can only afford a $400,000 house now.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the shiny penny isn't so shiny anymore when you go from 600 to 400.
Right. Right. And that is a problem. So, I mean, the market's nice in one aspect, that it's cooled off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Buyers shouldn't be scared off by a cooled market. Buyers should be more excited. Now, if I'm a seller, and maybe I might want to reevaluate whether I want to sell right this mm-hmm. moment. And if I don't need to, I probably shouldn't, because it's the buyer's market now.
Yeah.
Rather yeah. than the seller's market. But mm-hmm. you still have that problem that even though it's a buyer's market, the interest rates are so high, and then the building cost is so high when you're built, you know, cost of building for just yes. A basic spec home. Mm-hmm. Spec home, for anyone that doesn't know, is just it's a builder grade mm-hmm. home that a builder's building on a speculative investment to say we'll build it and then sell it. So it's not custom, it's just a spec home. But the cost of a spec home build is $200 a square foot now.
Plus in right. some areas.
Right. Like that's just like that's the yeah. basic entry level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, you're building a 2,000 square foot house, your hard cost on that house is going to be at least $400,000. Mm-hmm. And that's before, you know, the land is going to go on top of that. And then the builder's going to want to make some money off of it. Mm-hmm. And then taxes and realtor fees and all the other things. So it adds up difficult now. So it's hard to get mm-hmm. something that's under $600,000. Which I think is a great segue
yes.
into the project that you're excited about. Yeah. So you corrected me before we started recording, because I said a tiny home
yeah.
development. But tell me about that.
Well, we're calling them micro homes instead of tiny homes, because tiny homes come in so many shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. It can be a shipping container or a park model
right.
manufactured, you know, trailer. So to speak.
Right.
And then people build them as well. So there's all kinds of different descriptions of tiny homes. So we're calling it micro homes. And this is going to be the first one in Washington State.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yes. Yes. Bridgeview Management is the company that came up with this idea and went through the pain and struggle of getting it approved. It's in Bellingham, and they actually had to have the mayor sign off on it in order to get that finalized.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be about 50 units, and they're going to be priced up about $150,000.
The units are going to be $150,000
yes, a piece? Yes, the house are going to be $150,000 each. Yes.
Holy smokes. You can't yeah. buy, mm-mm. I mean, you can buy a truck for $150,000. Yeah. So are they actually on their own lot, like you buying, or is it a condo?
Well, it's kind of condoed, yes.
Okay.
Exactly. There will be a lot fee that you pay on top of that. And I believe it's $750 to $800. I'm not 100% sure at this time, because they just broke ground. And the first one will be up in the beginning of April.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, we'll have like a grand opening for people. And it's... right off the guide.
Okay.
Over by Winco. So it's kind of back in there.
So it's pretty central in Bellingham.
Yes. Walkable to grocery stores and the mall and bus services right there. If you're a college student, you know, you can catch a ride to go to school. And that was the thought behind this, is to make it for seniors that maybe are downsizing. Or, you know, young couples or young people that don't want to rent, because renting, You know, it's kind of interesting how the politicians, so to speak, what they describe as affordable living. It's not based on the price. It's based on the square footage.
So when we talk about affordable housing, mm-hmm. when they say we need to have more affordable housing, they're not talking about. So when I think affordable housing, I'm thinking housing people can afford to buy.
Exactly.
Which I think most people would. That's what they. But mm-hmm. you're saying that's not what that term actually means.
No, it's not. It means the square footage. So when they're building all these new apartment complexes around, they're building tiny studios, but they're still renting them out at $2,000 a month to $1,800 a month for a studio. That's, to me, is not affordable.
No.
Right. And it's...
I think you just blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
How could somebody think that affordable yeah. housing has anything to do with the square footage? Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with, well, it's in the word, affordable. It should be affordable to buy or affordable to rent.
Subsidized something. But technically, it's not.
So what is, do you know what the definition of affordable is? Like, how, like, is it like...
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of buzzwords they use, you know, and I think affordable housing is a buzzword that
right.
politicians use. We'll just say it like it is. But the fact is, you have to qualify to get assistance with housing. It's just not a given. They don't have neighborhoods dedicated to be affordable. They just don't, because everybody's in it for the profit. And that was the Bridgeview's thought process, was like, wait a minute. Square footage, what is that? That has nothing to do with what something costs, really. It does, but not really. You know, it's still $2,000 a month.
Right. Like, who cares if it's right. if it's small, if you still can't afford to
right.
pay for it.
Right. And you don't own it.
Yeah.
You know, and they wanted to produce something that people actually own and that is truly affordable.
Yeah.
You know, we have some great lenders on board that are going to be helping us with the financing part of it. So the lending industry hasn't quite caught up with what is going on here. You know, how long do you think we've been talking about affordable housing?
Well, I, as far as I can remember,
yeah.
I mean, since like 2008, since the crash.
Yeah. Right.
We've talked about affordable housing, and it used to be something that you could actually get something affordable. And that's why mm-hmm. I guess that's why my mind is just a little bit tweaked yeah. out here, is because I was like, I don't understand. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, because politicians like to spin things mm-hmm. so we could talk about, like, look at all the affordable housing units we put in. It's like, well, you know, you just put in small housing units, but they're exactly. still not affordable.
Mm-hmm.
But then they could pat themselves on the back and say, I'm doing a good job.
Right.
But yeah, it's been something that's been going on for probably at least, that's been a buzzword for at least 15 years. Yeah,
exactly. And we've not really seen it.
No.
I mean, what's everyone's complaint? How much housing costs, how much food costs, how much gas costs, all those things that we need to survive,
yeah.
you know, and live. And they actually took that to heart and went to the city and said, wait a minute, we have an idea here to actually make it affordable. The houses they're going to be about 400 square feet. They're not huge,
yeah.
but it'll be like a one bedroom and a bathroom and then a kitchen and then a living room. And they're designing it with a door. If you wanted to have another bedroom, you could slide the door closed and have a second bedroom and
oh, that's
share the kitchen.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's very well thought out. And there's a storage shed that you get with the house as well. And you own it. That's your house. You own
yeah.
it. And it, you know, the value will go up just like all real estate
And it's
does.
Built, so it's a micro house. It's built Correct. Like a house.
Correct.
So it's not like, it's not on a trailer. It's, they actually use
well,
regular
they're
construction
not,
techniques.
Yes, they're regular construction techniques, but they're not built on site. I mean, they're brought there. So it is similar to a trailer, I guess you could say, but the construction is just like a residential.
So it'd be like a modular home.
Similar to that. Yep, exactly. And they're very cute. The design is really cute. I can't wait to see the first one come out. And the community itself is built to be a community. So there's shared spaces, you know, where people can have cookouts and hang out together. There's places to take your pets. So the whole idea is to be together in even though you're living in a micro house, you still, you know, commune with your friends and neighbors and stuff.
Is there going to be like a clubhouse or anything like that there too? Or no?
I don't think they have enough space for a clubhouse. I'm thinking that there's just like a picnic area.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Outdoor space. Well, mm-hmm. It's the Northwest. It's nice to have an outdoor space.
Exactly.
I think there's 2 months out of the year you don't really want to be outdoors, but the rest of the month you can enjoy being in the nature. So, which I think is one of the big draws that people love about the Northwest.
Yeah, me too.
Whenever you talk to people, like they love being in nature. They love being in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would fit with the Northwest theme and Northwest vibe that you have in Whatcom County.
I mean, like camping in March. I mean, I'm camping this weekend.
Yeah, you came to join us straight from the campsite. So you're like, yeah, middle of March, I'll go camping. Yeah,
why not? It's beautiful. I'm in La Conner. It's gorgeous today. And
yeah.
I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah, it is a great, mm-hmm. great weather out right now. So
yeah, it really is.
So there's 50 units. How mm-hmm. long is the plan for implementing or building all the units and getting them on site?
I don't have that information. I don't know, but I know that it's being done right now. So everything's in the background. And they broke ground earlier, but of course the weather hasn't been very cooperative with doing groundwork. It's been pretty muddy over there.
Yeah, it's been a little wet. It's been a little wet to be digging out foundations and whatnot.
But they're
are there going to be any requirements in this community for age or income?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
it's just
anyone is welcome. Anyone. Nice. No investors though, because this is not something that they're not going to be selling to investors or people that are renting
it. That's good. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to sell to someone who's just going to buy it to rent it.
Exactly. The idea is to provide affordable housing for the community and individuals and not corporations or companies or for profit.
right because you could mm-hmm. buy that
whole thing
right. I'm sure there's investors that go, I'll pay $150,000 for a unit, pay a $700 or $800 mm-hmm.
lot fee
mm-hmm. and then rent it out for, you know, $2,000 and I'll make my money back
right
in no time at all.
Yeah, but that's not the idea there. You know, we're strictly leaving that out. And we're also going to be offering it to people of Whatcom County first, you know, before we go national or, you know, statewide.
So do you know, are you guys taking like pre-orders on
ones that
are not set up yet? So if somebody's like, man, I mean, because 50 homes is awesome, but that's mm-hmm. not a lot.
No. And it's a $500 deposit.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. If you want to get on board before. You know?
So do you need to if you're going to put the deposit down, if you're like, mm-hmm. hey, that sounds interesting to me, that sounds mm-hmm. cool, I want to get into my own place. And, you know, I think about that, like homeownership versus renting.
Yeah.
It's an important stepping stone. Like, you might want to be on 5 acres in the country, but you might have to start on a micro home
mm-hmm.
in off the guide.
Exactly.
Because you buy that, you stay there, you build some equity, you sell it in a few years, and then you take that money and go put your down payment on something mm-hmm. bigger. But I think it's a great idea. That's exactly where, like, that's what we're missing, is that entry level housing.
We are missing that.
Mm-hmm. So that person who says, like, that sounds really cool, that sounds exciting to me, mm-hmm. I would be interested in wanting to do that. I got the $500 to put down. Do they need to get pre-qualified in order to make a deposit?
Not necessarily, but that would be the next step we would require, is a pre-qual.
Okay.
With a lender. And like I said, there's not a lot of lenders out there that are willing to take this project on. Right now, People's Bank is our main lender.
Okay.
And they've agreed, because they're local, they've agreed to take the project on. And the plan for Bridgeview is to do several more of these projects around Washington. So this is their first try to see how things go and how successful they are and how it's received in the community. And then they're planning on doing several more of them.
Now, are these micro communities, micro housing communities, are they something that is being done in other areas?
No, not that we know of. This is the only one that we're aware of. Because there's not the building codes for it. There's not the, you know, there's no infrastructure for it. And that's why he had to get signed off from the mayor, is or the company did, because there wasn't anything in place yet to accommodate something like this.
Yeah.
Which, again, we go back. How long have we been talking about this?
Right. And no real steps moving forward. Yeah.
Why are we not already? We should have been here 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and these should be all over the place for entry level housing. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Well, I would, I mean, anybody that's listening, I would say you should, if you don't own a house, because I mean, well, what would, I know like credit's going to make a difference, right? But like, so a payment on $150,000, that's got to be what, maybe $500 a month?
Yeah,
$400 or $500 a month?
It's going to be less than renting a studio.
Right. So like you think about that, even with your pad rental, you're still looking at $1,200-$1,500 tops.
I'm guessing, yeah. Depending on the interest rate, yeah.
Yeah, depending on your...
Well, and then there's insurance, because, you know, actually, what's, you know, you're going to be helping with that insurance part of it, which is vital to have.
Yeah.
Want to have your insurance.
Yeah, yeah. On insurance is interesting on that, because just like the banks, not all insurance companies are comfortable writing for micro housing because it's just different.
Right.
Right. And I think anytime things are different, companies go, oh, let's not. I don't know if I want to go down that road. And so it can be challenging.
Yeah.
And I would. But yeah, we have companies that we contract with that will write the micro housing, which is important.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it sounds like, oh, it's $150,000. It's still a big investment and the lender's going to require it.
Right.
Right. You're not going to get a loan without having proper insurance. And that's still your investment, your stepping stone to maybe your dream home is right. It's going to start with a micro home. Micro home may not be your dream house.
Right.
But it's going to be the start.
Leverage.
Yeah.
To work your way up. Exactly.
Yeah. I think sometimes, Becky, my wife and I, we were talking about this. A lot of times people start out and they see where somebody's been, you know, they see people in their 40s and 50s and whatnot. And they're like, well, that's what I want. Right. Yeah. I want that, too. And that's my dream. And so they have this idea to think that they're just going to jump right there.
Yeah.
And it's like,
we all know how that works.
It doesn't really work that way, right? Like it takes a long time of you know, scratching and building
in thought
to get to that point.
Thinking through it. Because, you know, think about this tiny home. Okay, $150,000. How much when you rent someplace, you have to have first month's, last month's, and your deposit. And you add all that up. That's actually almost the same as a down payment for the tiny home, for the micro home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's probably first, last, and a deposit. Like if you think about that, if you're paying $2,000 a month, which is not a crazy number to be paying in Whatcom County.
No, it's not.
That's $4,000 probably. You probably got five grand that you got to put down.
Yeah. Or closer to six, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a first time home buyer.
Plus a pet deposit.
Right.
You know, and those are $500 to $1,000. Some people charge. So
man, yeah, I didn't really think about that. That's gonna be huge. That's a huge issue, just to a block for entry point, even into renting. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was had an apartment here in Linden and he had to get his parents to co-sign for him to get the apartment.
Yeah.
Like that's,
I had to do that for my kids too when they got their first apartments. And
it's like, that's crazy.
It is. And they had the money, but they were, you know, they were young and.
Yeah. I think the idea, I guess what I would say, anyone who's listening, if you don't own your house and you can live, you know, if it's two or three people or less, you know, it would be hard to have five or six people in a in a micro home.
Yes.
But if you're got, you know, if you're a family of, I would say even three.
Yeah.
Like you should.
It'd be cozy, but
it would be cozy.
You could own.
You would own it. Mm-hmm. And that would be your first step to what would be next.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's going to be more affordable than renting a house. It is smaller. And sometimes people feel like, oh, it's going backwards because maybe I'm renting a house for, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I can afford $2,500 a month or and mm-hmm. I'm renting an apartment or a small house or a townhouse or something. Like, I don't want to go backwards to buy a micro home. Like, they might feel that way.
Right.
That I'm stepping backwards because I'm going from, you know, maybe 1,000 square feet or 1,200 to 400. But let me tell you, the long-term benefit mm-hmm. of owning your house, you buy the micro home, you live there for, you know, 3 years, 4 years, you build some equity, you can sell that house with a profit money and put it down mm-hmm. on, you know, a townhome, right? And you're going to take a step to the next level.
Exactly.
And then you live in that townhome for 3 to 5 years, and then you can sell that one for a bigger profit, and you can put that down on a house.
And we see when the market shifts, how your equity can grow in just a couple of years.
Yeah.
Crazy growth.
Yeah.
In just a few years, like it did, you know, 3 years ago when it was just insane. You know,
so if I'm interested, mm-hmm. I got $500. I can reserve. So yes. That way I'm not.
Give me a call. I'll put you on the list.
So how, what is your phone number?
360-708-4377.
360-708-4377.
Correct. Call or text me.
Okay. Do you have a website or email that people should go to?
We do have a website, but you can't really sign up on it. It's more of a visual of what the plat looks like. Okay. It's called dado.com, D-A-D-O.com.
D-A-D-O.com.
Yeah, that's the name of it is Dado. And Dado.
Is it the Dado community?
Yes, it's a Dado community. Exactly. Okay. Uh-huh. And you can pull it up and you can kind of see the layout of how the houses are going to be and what, you know, what they're going to look like.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And is your contact info on Dado.com as well?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, not yet.
So. Okay. What about email?
Shelly sells houses.
By the seashore.
With the EY, Shelly sells houses at Gmail.
Okay.
You can email me there. Yeah. Easier to call me though.
Yeah, it's true.
I actually like talking on the phone. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. I love talking on the phone. So
I know some people think like, it's like, oh, how rude. You just called somebody.
I know. It's like, that's what we've always done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
So talk or text.
Talk or text. And And we can sit down and chat about it, and I can hook you up with the lender and get things going for you. And, you know, we can get you in the home by the summer.
By the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to put our producer will help us. We will put in our video mm-hmm. on YouTube, because you might be listening to us on a podcast. But we'll put a link in the YouTube. I don't know if we can do that on the podcast. I'll ask Cole if he can figure that
out.
And then that way people can go to the dado.com
Dado.
Mm-hmm. Or they can call you at
360-708-4377.
So we'll try to get the website and your email, or not your email, your phone number listed in the description, so that way they can get a hold of you, because mm-hmm. This is exciting, actually. When we talked about it briefly, but I didn't realize this is a game changer for 50 families.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Or for someone that's retired.
Yeah.
And, you know, wants to downsize.
Right. Cause mm-hmm. I talk to people when it comes to insurance, I talk to people all the time they're like, I'm on a fixed income. What can I do? And
yeah,
if you are on a fixed income, that is something that you should be thinking about. So mm-hmm. it's like, well, heck, if you can downsize, sell your house, make a profit, buy this outright, maybe even, mm-hmm. Or at a very small mortgage, and reduce your monthly expenses, that can also be a huge thing. And you don't have a big house you have to take care of.
Right. So. Right. Exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, Shelly, thank you so much. Yep. Any last words?
Well, it's a good time to buy if you're right. a buyer. It really is.
Okay. I'm gonna throw you a curveball. I never warn anybody, but I ask this question now at the end of every episode. Okay. Is if you could give your younger self or your grandchild one piece of advice for life, what would it be?
Be fearless.
Oh, there you go.
Because we, as humans, are fearful of trying new things and taking a chance, you know, just like this community, this company is taking a chance on doing this mm-hmm. to be successful or not. And, you know, it's same with real estate. People are afraid to invest in themselves, and you need to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And buying a home or anything is an investment in yourself. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, don't be dumb, but don't be afraid.
Right. Don't be dumb, right?
Yeah.
don't be afraid.
I've been saying this for the last week. It's funny that you say this because I've been saying this for the last week. Sometimes I'm joking with my kids when I say it, but I'm like, fortune favors the bold. And you're right. To be fearless is important. We mm-hmm. live in fear often mm-hmm. and we miss out on opportunities because we were afraid to take a chance.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to live a life where you have regrets mm-hmm. at the end of your life because you were too afraid to go on an adventure.
Right, right. And we live in such a wonderful world. There are so many wonderful things out here to see and do and try. And, you know, that's what I tell my kids that all the time. You know, if you're working for a company, apply for a job you don't qualify for. You right. might get it.
Right.
You know, that's... I did it all the time. You're like, oh, wow, I actually got that job. Yeah. And, you know, you got to be fearless. Got to be fearless to be successful.
I like it. Live fearless. Be bold. Life's an adventure, but don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
So be fearless and bold and buy your first micro house.
Yes.
If you don't own your home already or downsize to it.
Yep.
All right. Well, Shelly, thank you so much for joining mm-hmm. me today. It's been a blast chatting with you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. If you have questions, you can always email me at theagentinsider@gmail.com. Until next time, have a great day.